T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And welcome to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. Just past midnight, so it's technically Tuesday. The people of Alabama will be voting here very soon, which you heard in the last segment. If you missed that and our conversation with it, you can always go back to the podcast at KMOX.com and listen back to any hour of the show that you please, however you prefer to listen to it as well. Let's go to Jerome, the official illustrator of Overnight America. What's going on, Jerome?
Not much. I finally remembered the rest of my Billy Graham speech that he always gave. Can I do it real quick, please?
Sure.
I'm the man of the hour, the man of the power, too sweet to be sour. I'm the hip maker. I make your back crack and your liver quiver. I'm the woman's pet that means regret. What you see is what you get. What you do not see is better yet. You take that to the bank, daddy.
Jerome, very good. How many times did you practice that?
I had to practice it once. I used to do it all the time, and I brain freeze last night. I was so disappointed in myself. I'm like, all the talents I have are useless. I should have used it for good last night, and I failed.
All the practice I've given to that speech, the one time you were called upon, don't worry. You know, you'll go back and think about, you're probably like me. I'll go back and I'll think, man, that one time in high school, I forgot who the vice president was. I can't believe how stupid I felt. And that's like 20 years ago. And you're thinking to yourself, why do I still think about stupid things like that?
Yes, that stuff haunts me.
So what are you calling in for? You just wanted to give your speech?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I was glad to get that caveat in there. but no, I was calling because that little boy, it was weird. I dropped my brother off after work, and I seen that little bit thing on whatever it was about that little boy. And then I turn you on, your show, and then I hear about the little guy. And I think, first of all, you know, it's just horrible that kids have to go through that. But nowadays, they don't get a break. You and I were kids. We go home on the weekend. There weren't really cell phones. There wasn't the Facebook and stuff. Now, they don't get like 2.5-3 days off and then come back Monday and whatever shenanigans is going on the week before is forgotten. You don't get the end of the day where you go home and you're with your family and you forget about all the stupidity of school.
Huh.
They turn on the Facebook, they turn on the Twitter, they turn on their cell phones, and it's a constant flood of negativity and horrible information and people picking on you. When we were kids, we could shut it off, and there was bullies back then. I got bullied. Well, let's face it, I'm not exactly normal acting.
Exactly normal acting. You know, I'm surprised to hear that from you, Jerome.
Yeah, sure. The guy just gave a speech from 40 years ago about a wrestler.
Yeah.
From a wrestler.
No, you're right, because it's funny. There was a story on Gizmodo. I had this story pulled, and I didn't know exactly where to put it, but this could play into exactly what you're saying. Like, when I was growing up, you're right. You had a break at school, especially during the summer. All could be washed away because you had fun playing outside with your friends or whatever. During the weekends, you didn't have to worry about it. There wasn't a way for you to log in and see someone anonymously harassing you or whatever. Now, it's a whole completely different story because people could just infiltrate you anywhere you are because you got the means to infiltrate right in everyone's pocket with a smartphone and everyone on Facebook or whatever. Now, Gizmodo had an article called, Facebook Radio Execs, You Don't Realize It, You're Being Programmed. And the people that were in charge of Facebook when it first came to the creation of it, including Sean Parker, who opened up about his regrets over helping create the social media platform. He said, "I don't know if you really understand the consequences of what I'm saying, because the unintended consequences of a network when it grows to 1 billion or 2 billion people is it literally changes your relationship with society and with each other," which I think plays into exactly what you're saying. Our relationship, because of all these social medias and everything that goes on with bullying, that changed with it.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the social diversification is, you know, within, 2004 or so when it started, or three, So within 2018 now, within a decade and a half, our social structure has totally been changed, and not for the better. And we didn't get to mature with it because it was like one generation to another. And, you know, all the kids growing up now, they don't know any different than to have Facebook in their lives.
Yep.
And
I get it.
I think it can be a positive tool. In this case, it helped social media and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think we'd be better off without it or reconstructed.
Yeah, I get that. Your phone's starting to click a little bit, but just real quick, Mark Reardon started a hashtag because of the photo you drew for him, hashtag large hands. So he's starting to move it. Large hands. That Reardon photo, man, he had some monster hands on him.
And that is a quote from Billy Graham, if I remember right, where he talks about having hands so large he could crush a coconut.
I agree.
And when he sent that, I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, he said so, that?
I'm pretty sure Billy Graham had a quote. He might be able to YouTube it or something. I'm pretty sure he said that because he was known for hyperbole and so forth.
Like it. Hey, Jerome, the phone's messing up, but thank you for your call. And, oh, yeah, Alex Degman, I guess, is your next commission. If you want to do someone, you just heard news from Alex Degman. I'd love to see what you think he looks like.
Okay, I will do that.
All right, thanks, Jerome.
See you guys. Bye-bye. Right.
We're going to have a whole, it's going to look like the fridge of a child in here. Like when you go into a house and mama always posts the photos up on the fridge, it's going to look like that in the studio. We're going to post all of Jerome's artwork. You're going to walk in and it's going to be like it's going to be like an art exhibit, except it's all Jerome's artwork. We need to get like the original sketches for some of these and like auction them off for charity. Maybe. You think anyone would donate? You're saying no? Mike Anderson says no. We might raise all of $20. Because I think we enjoy it more than everyone else, but the photos are great. And if you haven't seen the Mark Reardon one, at Ryan Recker on Twitter, I posted it on there, at Ryan Recker. Very good. Oh, all of them are on there. I like to post them on Twitter to share with people. A couple things, I guess we could talk a little bit about this social media thing, but we're finding on KMOX.com, Blake Snyder has a video out talking about the no death penalty for the man accused of killing the widow's Elizabeth Snyder. Blake Snyder's the officer. Death penalty off the table, and they're not even going to try this person for a couple of years. So she put a video out to talk about this. I want to talk about this, too, coming up on Overnight America KMOX. Mike Anderson's laughing at me. He was telling me about his new place. And I said, I'm pretty good at NHL games because he says he plays some NHL video games. He said, you don't own an Xbox. I said, no, NHL 95. NHL 95. I would wager I can beat anyone listening right now in NHL 95. If there was a tournament, I would beat anyone. I am that good. And the first trade I always made, 95 was the first year in the NHL series where you can make trades. I always traded for Grant Fuhr in net. I played as the Red Wings, traded for Grant Fuhr. You probably don't want to hear that, Mike Anderson. I wasn't a big fan of running. Let's see, was Vernon on that one? Might have been Vernon and Osgood. They were okay, but they were no Grant Fuhr. Now, the big goalies, Hasek was really good, and Eddie Belfour was good, but I always Van Beesbrook was good, but I always traded for Grant Fuhr. He was always my favorite. I got to get that jersey. So, completely unrelated. The article I was talking about from Gizmodo made a couple of points. Oh, what? Great score on Saturday. Blues Red Wings. Got to just rub it in. At least they're rat-free right now, from what I hear at the new arena. That cat they were feeding hot dogs. Last month, Facebook's president, Sean Barker, opening up his regrets to helping create the social media monster. And the former vice president of user growth, name I can't pronounce, recently expressed his concerns as well during a recent public discussion at the Stanford Graduate School of Business. He worked from 2005 to 2011, said, I think we have created tools that are ripping apart the social fabric of how society works. Ripping it apart. And this plays into what Jerome was saying, which I agree with the means to get to people and the means to bully people. We just have started given more tools for kids to get bullied. Some of the comments seem to echo Parker's concerns. Just days after Parker made the comments, to Stanford audience, the person that used to be the vice president of user growth said, the short-term dopamine-driven feedback loops we've created in destroying how society works. No civil discourse, no cooperation, misinformation, mistruth. It's an American problem. It is not about Russian ads. This is a global problem. Wow, great. You've just created an epidemic. Whenever you watch shows like The Walking Dead or things that have zombies in them are not necessarily about a virus that takes over society and you have people that are brainless walking around and, oh my goodness, I'm describing Facebook. The idea of the zombie is it's a blight on society for some reason. So when you watch The Walking Dead, it might not be a physical being walking around with the arms out going, brains. It might not be that. The plight could be something else. The plight could be what social media has done to people. The plight could be you can look at anything that's dragging down a society or what you see as a problem with society, and then you can relate to the zombies and saying it's just a constant wave of attacks that people are constantly fighting and losing. You can bring that to pretty much any cause. It's a universal feeling. So, yeah, social media could be the same thing. Brains. They were there to take your brains, and they're winning. You got to be that dude that goes around with the baseball bat with the barbed wire, knocking them back. I don't watch Walking Dead, so I don't know exactly who are the good guys or bad guys. I just know that's a thing. The dude with the baseball bat and the barbed wire, and then there's the other guy with the gun, the main character, and then there's the lady with the sword. These are the characters. The guy with the crossbow. Those are their names. Crossbow guy. Yeah. Long-haired lady. Guy in tatters. Kid who complains. There's all kinds of characters. Bad people, good people, people afraid of other people. I don't know. So that's, you don't have to sympathize with the zombies. You can say Facebook's the zombie. And they're laying out their point, some of the former employees. He went on to explain, the vice president of user growth formally. So we are in a really bad state of affairs right now. In my opinion, it is eroding the core foundation of how people behave by and between each other. And I don't have a good solution. My solution is I just don't use these tools anymore. I haven't for years. He also said that he won't be on social media. He doesn't want to get programmed. And for his kids, they're not allowed to use that blank. You know, if the founders and some of the people that were there in the early years could realize that sort of thing, maybe it's a good idea to keep your kids off of it or yourself off of it too. Your behaviors, you don't realize it, but you're being programmed. He said, it was unintentional, but now you got to decide how much you are willing to give up, how much your intellectual independence, he told to a crowd, and don't think, oh yeah, not me. You're probably the most likely to fall for it. There's a lot of swear words in this, so I had to make sure I didn't say anything. That's what social media could do to you, which I tend to agree somewhat. I think that not everyone uses it the way he feels they use it. I'm on social media, but I'm not always on it. Like, I don't constantly search for it. I feel like I'm on it during the show here. Like, I look up things. I try to see what people are talking about. I see what's trending online. But when I'm at home, I could care less what's going on social media. Don't care. I like Twitter, but, I mostly check to see if anyone's interacting with me, but that's about it. It doesn't drive my habits. I don't lose sleep over it. I don't feel like it's my life's dependent on it. So I guess some people do, especially a younger generation of kids who are constantly, constantly trying to communicate with each other. Here's another story from KMOX.com. No death penalty for the man accused of killing St. Louis County police officer Blake Snyder in a new reaction video that his wife put out on Facebook. She went live posting the question, death penalty, yay or nay? Your husband, now that you're a widow, but your husband was killed in the line of duty. Here's what she has to say about it, because it's still a very emotional thing, and it's a very personal thing, but it shocks me to find out that the case won't go to trial until February of 2019, over a year away from now. Why does it take that long to go to trial? Here's Elizabeth Snyder speaking out on social media.
This guy, I'm not even going to say kid because he is a full-grown adult that murdered my husband, did not give my husband a choice. He took away his life. Yes, Blake was an officer and he chose to do that job and he knew that that was a possibility. But just because you know that's a possibility doesn't make it right or okay for someone to kill you. So I do believe in the death penalty, absolutely, 100%. I believe that Missouri and the other states, not many, that have the death penalty in effect, they don't use it very often anymore. You don't hear many cases of people actually getting the death penalty. It is hard to get. I was disappointed with the prosecuting attorney's office because I felt like this case was very cut and dry. I feel like it. I didn't like the reasons behind not going for it. But it is what it is, and now we're hoping for life in prison without parole.
That's tough. If you were the widow and someone that is a advocate for justice for your husband, or let it be guys listening right now, you know, just imagine if someone did something terrible to your wife. You better believe you'd be hoping for the longest sentence possible. And in some cases, people would be, of course, rooting that this person not be allowed to rot in jail with a life sentence. And it goes even further, was she wanted the death penalty. She described how she got the call ahead of time with the explanation that the charges wouldn't be for the death penalty, that they were going to be searching for life in prison. Here's another quote she said in the story. What I mean when I say it's okay, you're in the right, you're in your right mind, you know what you were doing, you purposely planned it out, you tell people, you put it out there on social media for people to see that you hate cops, and then you find a way of doing it, you get a firearm, and you go shoot a cop. Yes, I believe you deserve the same fate. Totally sympathize with this woman, and I read that story, and it breaks my heart. I don't know how I would react. I got to imagine, too, I would be absolutely fine with the strongest possible type of prosecution for a person like that. His name is Trenton Forster. I'm looking at a photo of him. I got to imagine that haunts her every night. Let's pray for this family, what they're going through. You know, it's got to be hard for a year and a half wondering what's going to happen. I mean, it's got to be the last thing you think about at night and the first thing you wake up with. So what Elizabeth's going through, let's think about her and her family, and let's hope they get the justice they deserve here. A couple of other stories I wanted to get to. President Trump signing a new directive to get back into space. Yeah, back into space. That we're doing it. We're doing it up. Now, your generation, people listening right now, I know that there are a lot of, I don't mean this in a negative, but older view listeners that come through the overnight, you may have watched the moon landing live. Did you watch it live? If you did, I want you to tell me what it was like to witness that, because this generation may have something similar happen. We may be the first generation to put people on Mars. We may have that experience for ourselves. Did you witness the moon landing? And if you're a conspiracy theorist, even better if you want to call in. But did you witness the moon landing? Tell me what it was like watching that on TV. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Was that the most amazing thing you ever witnessed in your life that wasn't like a birth of a child? It's Overnight America, KMOX. I don't mean this in a bad way, but if you were old enough to witness the moon landing, Neil Armstrong, in person, like, did you watch it on your television set? Did your parents call you in and say, you have to come watch this? I want to know what that experience was like for you. What was going through your mind? The awe, the beauty of it all. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. You know, it's always a pleasure to have you here on Overnight America. So President Trump wants to go back to the moon. He is scheduled to sign at first his administration's first space directive, and it happened earlier today where NASA is getting ready to send humans back to the moon. And then the plan is for, after that, go to Mars. I wasn't alive during the moon landing. I wish that I could have witnessed something like that, but I got to imagine it's not the feeling wouldn't be lost for me and my generation if I were able to watch it happen again, sending someone to the moon. Now think about the quality of video that they'll be able to send back. Think about the things they'll be able to do with the technology that's advanced since then. Imagine some of the other areas they're going to be able to explore. Now that we've been able to scan and document the moon even further, we know that there's some specific areas on the moon that we want to get a closer look at, because the idea is, especially in China and some of these other areas like India, I believe they're sending probes in types of rovers to the moon so we can check out some of these caves to see what are inside. Now, there could be water inside the caves. You know how crazy that sounds? There could be, there's all kinds of things that we don't know about the moon. And it's something we've been studying for years. And it's a lot easier to send a person there to study these things. And we have the technology to get them there and back. Now, you may not believe we landed on the moon, so bear with me. Just pretend we did for a minute if you're a conspiracy theorist that way. So here's what the president talked about, the new space policy.
We're honored to be joined by Apollo astronaut Jack Schmidt. Exactly 45 years ago, almost to the minute, Jack became one of the last Americans to land on the moon. Today we pledge that he will not be the last. And I suspect we'll be finding other places to land in addition to the moon. What do you think, Jack? Where's Jack? What do you think, Jack? We'll find some other places out there. There are a couple of other places, right? We'll learn. The directive I'm signing today will refocus America's space program on human exploration and discovery. It marks an important step in returning American astronauts to the moon for the first time since 1972 for long-term exploration and use. This time, we will not only plant our flag and leave our footprint, we will establish a foundation for an eventual mission to Mars and perhaps someday to many worlds beyond.
That's pretty cool to me. When I hear things like that, that's interesting to me because they want to be able to get to Mars and they want to get the technology up there. There was even some privatized type of exploration that the incentives out there for people. I think Google was the company that said, we're going to give a lot of money to whatever company can get up and put a rover on the moon first, privately speaking. And on top of all these things, a very large company that has a footprint here in St. Louis, Boeing, their CEO came out over the weekend, and they're saying they want to be the first people to put men on the Mars surface. I can't imagine what that would be like to watch a live feed from people on Mars. We have rovers there. We've had a rover there for a long time. The Curiosity rover has sent back some unbelievable footage of what goes on there. You probably don't know this, but on the anniversary of its landing, its birthday, it sings happy birthday to himself every year. Now, when you have a rover, you think that it's just some dude with a joystick that looks like he's playing Atari back in, you know, NASA control, but it's a little more complicated than that. Because of the sophistication of this rover, which actually has outlived its lifespan, they are treating it very, very carefully. So think about this. It takes time to communicate between Earth and Mars. The distance between the two planets are so far apart. So when you send a signal to Mars, it takes a long time for that signal to hit, and it takes time for that action that you ask the rover to do to operate, and then it takes time to get a signal back to see what happened. So think about it this way. Let's say it takes an hour, okay, whatever the distance is for the time to get there and the time to get back. You have to do your moves, minuscule moves by minuscule moves, because what you can't do is screw something up, and then you don't know about it for an hour, and then it's too late, and the rover's lost. So you got to make these little tiny moves at a time. And to do some of the most littlest things for this rover, to move an inch by inch by inch and to try to get miles away from the original landing point inch by inch, that's why it takes so long to get anything done. If you were to send a person to do this work on the Mars surface, they can do it instantaneously. So the amount of science you can gather from putting a person on another planet, pretty remarkable, number one. The whole idea of sending someone to another planet, the science fiction nature of it and putting it together with the current technology, pretty remarkable. I think you'd have to be crazy to want to go to Mars because it's a one-way trip and the littlest thing will end it. You know, we can spend billions of dollars to send someone over to Mars. They can get to Mars and the littlest thing could trigger it and they could be gone and all of that would be for waste. Other than we might have sent someone there and they could get nothing done from it all. So there are some risks involved with that sort of thing. But Boeing says they want to be the first to put it out there. Eventually, we're going to Mars, he said. And I firmly believe that person that sets foot on Mars will get there on a Boeing rocket. Elon Musk long has said he wants to colonize Mars using SpaceX rockets. The company developing a reusable mega rocket called the Big Falcon rocket, or Falcon, that would fly astronauts to Mars, the moon, and other deep space destinations. He on Twitter challenged Boeing and said, do it. Do it. I'm sure he said it with a deeper voice. Do it. Do it. Do it. Like challenging him, like tough talking him. Boeing said, game on. This is good. Privatizing our and trying to advance technology that way is awesome. So I can't imagine what that would be like to watch on a television set us at Mars and the person there. And I got to imagine it would be basically the same feeling. You know, I don't know. It probably would not be the same feeling. I would want it to be the same feeling, but it wouldn't feel as significant as the first time someone stepped anywhere out of this planet. Now, the whole race into space, stepping on Mars, you know, we go to the moon not because it's easy, but it's because it is hard. And Kennedy and the politics of it all, the uncertainty of what's going on with Russia, trying to show our American pride, putting all the effort into this to showing that we can't do it, the engineering of it all, the miracle of it all. If you think about everything that happened during that time, I don't think it would be the same feeling. I think most people will say, oh, that's cool. Like, you know, they expect these things to happen. They just expect it to happen. So I would like to know what your feelings were. That's why I was hoping to talk to someone that actually witnessed that as a child, gathered around the television watching Cronkite shed a tear. How beautiful it was to see something like that. We will return American astronauts to the moon, Trump said, not only to leave footprints behind. Oh, this was Mike Pence. But to build a foundation, we need to send Americans to Mars and beyond. Here's Vice President Mike Pence.
Mr. President, in signing this space policy directive, you are ensuring that America will lead in space once again. To guide this new era of American space leadership, President Trump has relaunched the National Space Council, and at the Council's inaugural meeting in October, we unanimously approved a recommendation to instruct NASA to return American astronauts to the moon, and from there to lay a foundation for a mission to Mars. Today's action by President Trump makes that recommendation official national policy for the United States of America. As everyone here knows, establishing a renewed American presence on the moon is vital to achieve our strategic objectives and the objectives outlined by our National Space Council. In pursuing these objectives, Mr. President, we will, as you said, enhance our national security and our capacity to provide for the common defense of the people of the United States of America.
It's pretty cool. You know, if anyone's going to do it, you want it to be us, right? I think it's worth the investment, even though this is the thing. During the Obama administration, they cut back the funding to NASA. It was something that a lot of space nerds were really upset about. And I'm not necessarily a space nerd, but I'm someone that thought that was pretty bad. But President Trump came in, he gave more money to NASA, but he's not fully funding it the way they would like. I think they have the resources to get up there, but when there's an initiative to get back to the moon, it pretty much puts everything else on hold, so now their whole focus will have to be on this just based on what the budget looks like. Oh, Bree's calling in. Let me, Bree, hold on, because I got to go to break, and I want to give you enough time to describe what it was like to watch the moon landing. We're going to get to that coming up next in Overnight America KMOX. Got a couple of stories lined up, and I'm really excited to hear them about watching the moon landing live. So we have a few, and Bree, we're going to bring up first, all the way from Texas. Bree, what's going on?
Oh, it's cold in Texas.
Did you get snow?
No, we didn't get snow, but it got 27 degrees.
Wow, that's very chilly. You had to turn the heat on, I'm guessing, I hope.
Oh, well, yeah, I had the heat on, but see, in the daytime, see, it got 74 today.
Oh, it's just the nighttime cold.
Right.
Wow.
It's freezing at night and then hot again in the daytime.
Did you watch the moon landing on television?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I was born in 1938, so I've seen everything from the Great Depression to the First World War, Second World War,
and
wars in between. I remember that it was July the 16th, of course, 1969. and that we watched the ship leave. Now, my brother-in-law, he went to work for NASA in 1962, and he was working on those on the ship that was going to...
Oh, really?
Oh, yes, uh-huh. His name was Richard Byrne.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
He was from Ventura, California, but they were working on different parts of it down here in Houston, you know.
Yeah.
And so we watched, I got my two little kids, and we sit there and watched it leave. And then, of course, then they announced that, you know, we were going to be able to see them land. But we didn't see the ship actually land on the moon, but we could you could see it, you know, parts of it. And then they got into this little, it was kind of like, the only way I can say maybe like a golf cart, but it wasn't exactly a golf cart. But
yeah, the moon buggy.
Yeah, a buggy, right. And Neil Armstrong got into that buggy, and he went out onto the surface of the moon. And it was just a magnificent feeling to know that here we were, these, you know, little stupid humans, and yet we had accelerated ourselves to the ability to build something that we could fly away from this Earth and be on the moon.
And be able to watch it. You know, so
right.
You'd have been a little over 30, and did you have any emotions watching that?
Oh, of course. I mean, like I said, it was. I was afraid for them, but at the same time, I realized that here we had accomplished this. I mean, this was, you know, all of the world was looking at us. I mean, this was something that we accomplished. Probably, what man ever thought that we would ever be on the moon?
You know, you watch the best quality of that. I don't know if you've heard this story, but when they sent this video back from the moon, it was actually picked up in multiple different areas on Earth at the same time. So, like, Australia was picking up their own feed, and all these different countries were picking up feeds. And NASA was supposed to be recording this, which they did, and they can't find the original video. They think it might still be out there, but they also think they might have recorded over it. So what we see now, the video of the moon landing, is a recording of a recording that was on a screen. So it's not the great quality. So you saw the best quality.
Yes, and you know, he had this this spaceship suit on, of course, and he had like there was a large thing that looked like it was about maybe 10 inches in diameter that was feeding into that. It was like that he was you know, that long umbilical tube cord. That's what it was like, an umbilical cord.
Yeah.
Was hooked onto him, and he got out of the little what they call a lunar nodule or something, and he got out of that and walked and started walking across, and that's when they recorded his voice saying one small
step for man.
Mm-hmm. And one giant leap for
mankind. Right.
And I told my son, Brett, I said, I want you to look what they accomplished. Look what they've done. You know, Uncle Richard and all of these men, look what they did. And you can do something like that one of these days.
Wow.
Because at the same time, you know, they were watching Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Bree, I'm so glad you called in to share that story. Thank you for doing that.
Well, you know, I really believe that. We need something like this again to bring us together. I think we need something.
I think we'll get some more space. Like next year or maybe 2 years ago, there's this new satellite that's going up that'll be really good because we'll be able to see some pretty deep space pictures that I think will be pretty fascinating. You know, the fascination with space, I've always had that. And it's fun to imagine what it's going to be like to witness something like this in my lifetime, even people going back to the moon. Bree.
I can tell you something else I've seen in my lifetime. I've seen a real spaceship.
Oh, cool. Did you see a launch?
No, I mean, I saw I saw a UFO in 1972 from a private plane.
Are you serious?
I'm very serious.
Bree, we have to save this story because I want to hear this story really bad now.
It was one of the most beautiful scenes, most beautiful things I've ever seen, and I know that they exist because I saw it with my own eyes with six other people in a private Queen airplane.
Bree, can you hold on for a second, Bree?
Yes.
Hold on 1 second. I want to hear Bree's story, but I want to get to Sam before we get to the break. Bree, hold on. I got to bring Sam up from Troy, Illinois. Bree just dropped the UFO bomb on me, but I want to... Now, Sam, how old are you? Can I ask?
You may. I'm 50. I'll be 56 on the 19th.
How old were you when the moon landing happened in 69?
8 and a half.
So you remember... So you must have watched it with wonder. You were watching this thing with the family around the television?
Well, the first one, I'm the youngest of four, and the other kids are gone doing their thing.
They missed it?
Well, there might have been one sister. But anyway, it's summertime, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always gone on my bike, or I was always gone. Live out of the country and shooting buddies, whatever. But Mom maybe stay home that day. But she was smart. She made popcorn and stuff.
Uh-huh. You know?
And we had black and white TV. So I guess it looked like the same as anybody else's. And I was amazed at the bright sun and the black sky. I just couldn't figure that out at my age.
Watching that, I just can imagine what the family was like. It was probably lost for words. It was hard to comprehend what would just happened.
Well, it was like, look at this, look at that, look at that. You look at the flag, look, you know, you just gotta look at this and
the news reports, fun. Like watching the news cover that sort of thing.
Well, yeah,
it was remarkable.
Coming up. You know, everybody knew it was coming up. And I didn't care, you know, at 8, you know, whatever I was. And
you didn't understand the significance of it at the age
not
of 8.
Really, no. But Mom, but the rest of them, the rest of the landings, Mom would make us stay home from school to watch them.
Yeah. I'm glad they did. Did you live in Illinois at the time?
I did.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. Now, I'm glad you're able to witness something like that. Do you think landing on the moon now would have the same impact, or maybe landing on Mars would have the same impact?
Probably more so.
You think so? Okay.
Yeah. You know, like the lady said before, bring people back together and look up in the sky once in a while.
Bring people back together. You know, we could use something, bringing people back together. And space is a good way to do that as opposed to, I don't even want to say it, but you look what happened after 9/11 and people were brought back together. We want something else to bring people back together.
I'm all for space exploration.
Yeah. All right, Sam. Thanks. Good to hear from you.
Have a good night.
You too. All right. Bree, I'm going to talk to you off the air because I want to get your story because we got to go to news here. But if you want to hold on, I want to hear this UFO story. I love stories like this. Rich calling in too. This will be good. Space talk. Yeah. Don't go anywhere. This will be fun. It's Overnight America on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.